The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Brethren, one of the tragedies of our current culture is what is happening to fatherhood. I mean, we have even added new words to our language to try to verbally represent the changes in the definition of father, or to the characteristics and the behaviors of a father, and the changing roles of fatherhood. Society's trajectory of fatherhood is very, very sad indeed. The once common mother and father, two-parent, male and female family is simply melting away. I mean, even motherhood is under attack in our culture today. We commonly speak of missing father, the absentee father, the non-resident father, the deadbeat dad, or the unknown father. Some people are coming to realize the importance of fathers in their children's lives. However, having said that, very few know what to do to fix the problems. I have entitled the sermon today, Fatherhood. Some recent research has shown that father-child contact is correlated, listen to this, to better social skills, better social functioning, to emotional and academic functioning. In fact, in one study, when fathers were involved in their child's life, there were fewer behavior problems and, this is what when it really gets me, reading scores were even better. Then on the other hand, when fathers were not regular interacting with their own children, poverty was 4 times more likely. I have sources for this. In fact, the source is the U.S. Census Bureau Children's Living Arrangements and Characteristics, and that's from March 2011. And brethren, having said all of this, I hope we all understand. If we're not, I hope we understand by the end of this. There is a growing crisis in America of fatherlessness. And of course, God knew this was going to happen. Paul wrote about some of these problems of parenting to Timothy the evangelist. So let's go to the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and just read the one verse, verse 2. 2 Timothy 3, verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, coveters, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. A couple of other references you can put in your notes. Matthew 10, verse 21. Romans 1, verse 30, just for a couple. Now, I don't know about you, brethren, but I personally believe this is a sign of the times. I mean, surely we are in the last days, right? Also, as you know, eventually, the problems of fathering will have to be resolved. At least to the place where fathers' hearts are turned toward their children, and the children's hearts are turned to their fathers. Go with me to Malachi. You know this, but go with me to Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. Malachi 4, verse 6. And he shall turn the hearts of the father to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. I know we've said before in some of the translations it says, I smite the earth with utter destruction, which I think fits better into the Hebrew there. This prophecy in Malachi, it obviously should give all of us pause to think just how important fathering is to God. So let me ask, is there any special level of importance that we place on the positioning of the fifth commandment when it is placed before the commands not to kill or steal or commit adultery or covet? I mean, we know the first four commandments are direct commands about the worshiping of God first. We also know that the second set of the six commandments show us how to relate to one another. And then what we notice is the last six are headed up by the command to honor our father and mother. And you know, brethren, the thing is, the Bible nowhere says anything about whether these earthly fathers are worthy or not. That's not part of the criteria. Hopefully, we all do realize that displaying the genuine honor for those who have become parents is a foundational principle in a godly society. In some recent publications in a book, for example, by this book entitled Society Without a Father by Alexander Mitscherlich, we see through the book a father's authority and his power and his influence in the family have been eroded. Hollywood, the entertainment world, has set up Homer Simpson as a role model. And he is seen as being really lazy and stupid. He is also portrayed as being a chauvinistic person, and he is a man who avoids responsibility. And these trends are giving us, our society, our culture, and our kids growing up, twisted images of what a father truly is to be. Brethren, let's be sure to understand that our arch enemy, Satan the devil, hates fathers. And of course he hates mothers. And he also hates children. He especially hates God's children. Brethren, God has intended that our children are to be a blessing to us. God refers to them as a gift. He refers to them as our heritage, as a reward. Psalm 127, verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. That's not what we see in our culture today. That's what we read in the Bible. This is what we see from God. God has intended that parents teach their children diligently in the fear of the Lord. Not really going into explaining what fear of the Lord is, other than to use this one phrase, it is showing absolute reverence, awe of who and what is God. And so parents have that responsibility of doing that. That's what God intends. Psalm 34, beginning in verse 9. O fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. And then it gives an example of what he means by this. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want for anything. Come, you children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. After all, whenever you really think about it, we know this. This is a statement that we absolutely understand. Parents are a child's first experience with authority. Parents are meant to be a child's first line of having its needs met. These initial contacts were intended by God to be from loving and protective parents. However, in our world today, that has all too often not been the case. So I think that we can state, apparently good fathering is a tough job. It's a tough task. I mean, when you really look at it, even in the Bible, we only find a handful of men that the scriptures describe as being, or at least appear to be, successful at being good fathers and raising obedient children. Let me just mention a couple of those or a few of those. Perhaps we can assume that Noah was a good father. I mean, at least he was protective and he was actively trying to save the lives of his children, of his sons, and future generations. And of course, Abraham is considered as an excellent example of a father, not only to Ishmael and Isaac, but also to his future bloodline and to those who are to be his children by faith. That's us. Isaac was a faithful example to his sons. I mean, we got scriptures. We can illustrate this, but I think you can know the stories well enough to get the point. Jacob was hardworking and concerned with the safety and well-being of his children and those of future generations. All three of these men, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, diligently followed God. And before anyone jumps at me and says, what about, okay, I understand. Of course mistakes were made. These three, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are highly distinguished by God as he, God, refers to them as the fathers. They're not held up as bad examples. They're held up as good examples. For example, go with me to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 6. Exodus 3 and verse 6. Moreover, he said, that he is God, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. This is repeated for us over in the New Testament. It's over in Acts chapter 7 and verse 32. Acts 7 verse 32. I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and the God of Jacob, Isaac and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and dost not behold. This reference Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as fathers is actually seen in somewhere around 40 different verses. I think God puts a lot of emphasis on that. Again, yeah, mistakes. We understand that. That's not the focus. That's not the point here. You see, because they were not only concerned with the first generation of children, but also about future generations. Also, sadly, there are several stories in the Bible where even godly and faithful men have not provided us with the effective examples of good fathering. Want to see three examples here. First of all, we know very little about the two sons of Moses. Apparently, his sons did not even live with them. We could humanly reason then that, but we understand why. And my question is, okay, why? We're looking at good fathers. The prophet Samuel had two very disobedient, ungodly sons. 1 Samuel 8 and verse 3. 1 Samuel 8 and verse 3. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, or money is what it is, wealth, that kind of thing, and took bribes and perverted judgment. And David, Scripture says, a man after God's own heart, did not excel in child rearing. His skills apparently were very lacking. Does God have answers for us as parents to learn to be effective at fathering and parenting? Well, consider this. David, like I said, man after God's own heart. And yet, one of David's sons raped his half-sister. That's in 2 Samuel 13. Then, he murdered his half-brother. And later, this son mounted a rebellion against his father David. Not a lot of great fathers to give us answers. So, brethren, after, I know this is quickly looking, but after looking at our society today and then many Bible examples, where do we look for effective fathering? We have to look to our Heavenly Father. We have to forgive everything else, realizing there are these human lacking. There is this human inadequacy. None of us who are human do everything right. God Himself is the best example. And yet, in our present world, God is often portrayed as being mean and harsh and an unloving being. And of course, those are just the lies of the devil. The Bible shows that God does not lack the creation of the fatherless. I mean, He makes mention of it. Children live and thrive best where they are in contact, when there is both father and mother, both converted and both believing and both faithful within the family. When we come across fatherless children, we who are believers, who are true believers, it is incumbent upon us that we are to visit the widows and the fatherless. We see that in James chapter 1, 27. James 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And along this line of fathering, the world has Homer Simpson as the role model. Now, I understand this is a touchy topic for some people. I understand that. Some of us have had wonderful relationships with our fathers. And obviously, those of us who have, and I would have to raise my hand, we have to be very thankful for that. We know that these men were not perfect. Yet, we are blessed to have had them as our fathers. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 10. Hebrews 12 and verse 10. I'm going to read this verse out of the NIV. They, talking about parents, they disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. It says in the King James, for their profit. I like this one better. I like this one better. But God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in His holiness. Still, we know, in spite of our Father's best efforts, many of us have come out of the 20th century culture with scars from our childhood. Sometimes those scars of childhood appeared in spite of our fathers truly loving us, in spite of their best efforts. Others of us may not have had one of those good example of a human father, but maybe others of us had one of those uninvolved dads. And you know, some of us whom God has called had fathers who have truly failed their children. Some parents' behaviors have caused us great emotional and possibly even physical pain. Some of the wounds are deep, and they continue to affect us on into adult lives. Other wounds are more superficial and only affect us periodically. And of course, we should all know, there has never been a human perfect father. And you can say, or mother, and I understand that. And of course, for that matter, except for Jesus Christ, there has never been a perfect human son or child either. Some common issues with our relationship to our father and mother come from having wrong expectations. I mean, sometimes we are disappointed because we disappointed ourselves by hoping for things that were simply not reasonable, not practical, or even possible. Proverbs 13 and verse 12. Proverbs 13 and verse 12. The A part of the verse says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Many parents have done the best they could do under their circumstances. Some have truly tried to give good gifts to their children. Matthew 7, beginning in verse 9. Matthew 7, verse 9. Is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, would he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, and I want to stop there. And this evil is because it's a comparison to the way God is, who's perfect, and no human is perfect. So whether we had what I would refer to as a wonderful father or a man who had very poor skills, we can move on to the time of being reparented by our perfect humanly father. And that's what is needing with so many people today. And that's what the whole world needs. But brethren, that is also what many people who attend the Church of God need today. They need to be reparented by our perfect Heavenly Father. then we can become prepared to assist others as they also allow God to reparent them. Here is what I call a short list, extremely short list, of some of what appears to be the most common scars of childhood. There are many, many, many. Some of these have put vulnerable children at risk of serious spiritual bondage. Yet, what we need to realize is that our loving Father God has all the answers. He knows, He knows how to heal the wounds. Because we need to remember, God gives only good. Let's go back to that Matthew 7 and verse 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? And yes, and I know in Luke it says the Holy Spirit, which is what we really need for that. But this one in Matthew fits the point here. We all need to ask ourselves if any of these apply to us. Do any of these things apply to me on an individual basis? Our Heavenly Father wants us to live bountiful, happy, productive lives. And as we recognize wrong and ineffective patterns of behaviors or negative emotional responses, we can be made free. We can be made free. Notice what Jesus tells us over in John chapter 8, verse 32. John 8, verse 33. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, unless you had bad parents. Now what it says. If you know the truth, you shall be made free. Some children have been left to themselves. They are alone, perhaps completely abandoned. Nevertheless, our perfect Heavenly Father will never leave us. Deuteronomy 31 in verse 6. Deuteronomy 31 in verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for or because the Lord your God, He it is that does go with you, He will not fail you, He will not forsake you. Jesus also makes the same promise. It's to the church. To the church. We read this verse for a different purpose. I'm reading it for this purpose. It's Matthew 28 and verse 20. Matthew 28 verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. And if you heard a Bible study, you'll know what that means right here. It's going to happen because He said so. It seems that there are some parents, many of these are things that I've observed. It seems that some parents are not even touched by real tears of their children. However, go to Psalm 56 and notice what our Heavenly Father does. Psalm 56 and verse 8. I'll tell you before you get there. He keeps our tears. Psalm 56, verse 8. You telleth my wanderings, put you my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? He keeps track. Then he keeps them. Some parents are too harsh or unforgiving and cannot or will not comfort their children. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord and of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Some parents fail to instruct and guide their children in the right way of life, allowing their children to get into all kinds of trouble. Yet, our Heavenly Father diligently trains us and shows us His way that leads to happiness. Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Notice also what it says in Zephaniah, not a place we go to a lot, but Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. Zephaniah 3, verse 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of you is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over you. He will rest in his love. He will joy over you. What does it say? With singing. No, I don't know how many of all of us have had parents who sang to us or over us. God does. God does. This is what it says. Wow. So, yes, that's just a few examples of how God will reparent us as we come to Him in humility and in repentance. Yes, we have to believe this. Yes, we have to allow Him to do this. Yes, we have to accept the way God deals with us. But this is what He says. He has an answer for every hurt. So here, let me mention a few of God's wonderful characteristics as a father. Our God has a way of overcoming and replacing evil with good. Romans 12:21. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. It's a principle that God lives by. He's not going to be bothered by evil. He doesn't have to overcome it in the sense that we do. We all can get ourselves into all kinds of evilness, and as soon as we recognize it, we repent, and we replace it with good. God always is good, but this is a godly principle. Long ago, perhaps eons and eons, whatever that is, and however long that is, God determined to have a family. And please remember, no one forced him, no one twisted his arm, so to speak. He is now ready for the family that he wants. As an illustration, as a metaphor, he has made it fit for himself in the field, and now he is building his house. Proverbs 24, verse 27. We read this and we think, oh, this is talking to us. Yes, but it's a godly principle. God lives by these same principles. I mean, that's what we have to understand. Proverbs 24:27. Prepare your work without and make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterwards build your house. A godly principle that he uses. He has determined the ultimate goal for his family. He knows what he can, and he knows that he will be successful in bringing many sons to glory, and he has paid the required price. Hebrews 2, verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things. That's describing Jesus Christ. In bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. This heavenly Father allowed his Son, he wasn't a son until this event, I'm not getting into that, but here is this heavenly Father sent his Son to go through all he went through for us. They both were willing. They both love us that much. And then people say, well, I don't know that God really loves me. Okay, let me just ask you a silly question to think about. Have you ever thought about the color blue? Or red, or green, or whatever? But have you ever just thought about the color blue? Everything could have been gray. No, he gave life. He gave color. He gave animation. Because he loves us. And these many sons to glory that we're reading about, these children are to be a kingdom of priests. They are being created to rule in God's kingdom. God determined that his family would look like him. We know that. We are created in his outward image. Not even go there, but you know us in Genesis 1:26. After our likeness. And we're eventually going to have God's divine nature. He has promised to give it to us after, that's what it says, after that he has delivered us from the corruption of the world. 2 Peter 1 and verse 4. 2 Peter 1 and verse 4. 2 Peter 1, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now, we either believe them or we don't. They're either true or they're not. Well, they are true, and I choose to believe them. And I choose to accept it, and I hope that you do too. That by these exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And brethren, then as we think about God's perfection, we need to realize that he is our great provider. Philippians 4, verse 19. Philippians 4, verse 19. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Brethren, we all need to consider that our Father knows us as his children. I mean, he even keeps track of the hairs on our head. Matthew 10 and verse 30. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. We also see in Scripture that God wove us in the womb of our mother. I'll read you two different translations on this one verse. Psalm 139 in verse 13, 139 verse 13, King James, "For you have possessed my reins, you have covered me in my mother's womb." That's a good translation. Okay, it's good. Let's see it in the New American Standard Bible. "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb." That one truly shows us how involved in our lives he really is. Over the years in the ministry, I have talked with some people, and I mean people, members of the body of Jesus Christ, members in the Church of God, who were told that they were a mistake, that they should have never been born. That is such a horrible thing to even contemplate. Yet I've heard it more than once. What I want us all to understand is it is of a certainty that none of us are a mistake. And that makes no difference how or where we were born. God intentionally made you. When he calls a sinner, all of us, when he calls us to repentance, it is deliberate. I mean, he knows what he is doing. You are not a mistake. Your potential, our potential, is to be a bright, shining, glorified being in the ruling God family forever. So, brethren, here on this Father's Day, I want us to focus on the blessings we have because our Father in heaven wanted us in his family. I mean, think about it this way. He is the one, not our human fathers, but it's our heavenly Father. He is the one who gave us the breath of life. And brethren, he is waiting patiently for, as the scripture says, for the fruit of the earth. And that's us. I'm going to read back-to-back scriptures to make this point. James 5, verse 7. James 5, verse 7. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain." That's us. And then in Acts 17 and verse 25, NIV. Acts 17, verse 25. "And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else." Therefore, brethren, let each one of us be truly thankful that we have been brought to this day and brought to this time with this great potential. Oh, yes. We thank each one of us. We thank our human fathers. And yes, and we have to include mothers here, but this is Father's Day. We need to thank our human fathers for their part in our birth and our upbringing. But the real thankfulness is to our Heavenly Father, who has given us everything to be in His family. So, happy Father's Day. The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. We are so loved and so blessed by our Father. Happy Sabbath to you all.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.